back to another Co-op the Cast. This is Co-op the Cast, episode number 94 for Monday, October the 8th, 2012. We're a man down, despite, well...
Are we a man down, though?
We're sort of a man down. You might see only three of our heads popping up, but there's a fourth person lurking around somewhere.
He's wandering around my house somewhere.
He's...
Like a lost puppy.
He's dealing with your wife for you while you're busy with the podcast.
And Locke just answered the phone.
What is this, amateur hour? Who is that?
That better be a booty call.
That is the only interruption we'll take on this podcast.
My God. I think that's a first. I don't think we've ever had anyone just straight up pick up their phone while on air.
You didn't have to acknowledge it.
But we could.
Everyone could hear it.
We could hear it.
Got that's fine.
All right, so let's jump right into what you've been playing. And Locke, we'll start with you. What have you been playing?
Oh, we started the old Tokyo Jungle.
Right on.
And that's a game. That's a gamer's game.
Are you a boss?
Always. I always get the premium.
premium tail.
Tail, yeah. Otherwise, you get fleas. I learned that the hard way.
Oh, man.
But no, Tokyo Jungle is really cool. I bought it mostly because of the premise. And if you don't know what it is, it's a post-apocalyptic Tokyo that has been run over by animals, much like Mogwai there. And yep. There's no
he heard you were talking
of.
About his favorite game.
Yeah, he's like, I'm in. It's really cool. It's got a crazy premise, super Japanese. You play as different animals trying to survive, and there's different sort of classes, or I guess there's two sort of schools of thought. There's predators that prey on other animals, and then there's herbivores that try and avoid danger and sort of forage and eat plants and. That's the two kind of play styles.
So herbivores are stealth?
Yeah, they're more stealth. But you can also play sort of stealthy as a predator, too, because if you're a smaller animal, like a cat, you probably want to sneak by things like, you know, mountain lions, hyenas, well, I don't know, raptors, because those are in the game, too.
Because dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs, yeah. Right? But again, I bought it just because I thought it was crazy and I wanted to see what it was all about. And it turned out to be actually a really good game.
Yeah, you and Andrew are smitten with that one.
It's interesting because what you do is... It got off to a shaky start when I played it. And you had to play the tutorial twice. It's the same tutorial for story mode as well as survival mode. And it doesn't really tell you all that much of what you have to do to unlock stuff in either of them. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a problem with it. But, I mean, you go into story mode, it focuses on around the Pomeranian to begin with, and I haven't played actually too much of the story mode because I've been focusing a lot on survival mode. And what you do in survival mode is you pick an animal, and you have to start either with a deer or the Pomeranian, and there you're given...
decisions.
I know, right? Like, really, really intimidating animals. But you are given a set of challenges, and you have a certain amount of time. Usually it's around, I think, one generation, which in game time I'm not exactly... I think it's around, you know, 5 to 7 minutes, mm-hmm. and that spans your lifetime of that animal. And what happens when you do that is, if you finish all the challenges, you can go and challenge the boss animal, which is like... it's the boss. He's the big guy. And they use that unironically. so you start out as Pomeranian, hop over, go do all your challenges like, you know, mark territory 8 times or, you know, breed twice, kill 10 other animals, stuff like that. And then you basically take on that guy. And if you beat that animal, it's unlocked for you. So I progressed from a Pomeranian to a cat to a beagle to a golden retriever, and it kind of goes up from there. And the addicting thing about this game is that there's a huge-ass list of animals. Just you can see all of their shadows, or their silhouettes, rather. And it all goes all the way down to stuff like hippos and raptors and crazy stuff like that. So I'm really, it's got that hook where you just want to get to the next animal and get
to collect them all.
You got to collect them all, man. So, yeah, and I mean, $15 is well worth it. If you're a PS Plus member, it's $10. So
sorry, I thought it was 12.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's only 12.
It's super cheap. So. I'm having a ton of fun with it. Remember, going into it, it's not like anything else you've played. You know, you can think of it sort of like a roguelike with animals.
It's like Infinity Blade and a roguelike.
Yeah, yeah. You're gonna restart over and over and over again and try and unlock new animals and get more. What their currency is, survival points, and you can use that to buy animals and buy items.
Do you have Musk?
It's not exactly Musk. There is some weird scent thing that you can use, but I mean, the game's crazy, man. Like, it's nuts.
Have you played any in the co-op?
Yeah. I sat down and played a whole night with my buddy Joel, and he was the Pomeranian, and I was the deer. And what ended up happening is I would go around headbutting things, and then he would eat them, and it works exactly the same way as single player, except you have a buddy helping you, which is awesome because you can kind of do dual tactics. And except one thing that kind of sucks is that it only focuses on the first player camera. So if the second player goes off, they kind of get lost. So you know, it doesn't split screen or anything like that. So that's a little crappy, but man, it's begging for online multiplayer. And I don't know, there haven't been too many games that have been patched with online multiplayer that I can think of. The last one was like Scott Pilgrim, but it would be amazing with online, because if you both had your own screens and you could both see where you were going, I mean, it would be awesome. So Tokyo Jungle's fun, man.
Deer in a Pomeranian, it sounds like a premise of the next DreamWorks animated picture,
dude. Seriously, it can be a chimpanzee and a hippo. It can be anything you want.
That would be pretty rad, actually. A chimpanzee riding a hippo into battle. It'd be best if the chimpanzee had a diaper and was smoking a cigar. I guess.
That would be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Other than that, I've been doing a little bit of the old Borderlands. I tried out each of the classes now, and I think I'm going to stick with the commando. And I think I'm around level 20 with him, and yeah, it's like the quests are great, the writing's great, you know, we've talked about it a lot,
but badonkadonks and such.
It's an easily digestible game, so plugging away with that. Finish Mark the Ninja, excellent game, everyone must play that. I'm gonna do New Game Plus just because I really want to get every achievement on it.
Yeah, and he posted a review of that on the site on the user blog section, so good stuff there for sure.
Yeah, it's fun. There's some
Mike,
other
what
stuff.
About you? What have you been dabbling in?
Well, I have been playing, I've put about, let's say, 5 hours into Resident Evil 6. I've been playing Leon's campaign. And as you might find out later, I'm not as sweet on the game as Nick. I don't actively hate it, like I did for the first couple hours. Once you get a hang of the couple things that are never explained to you in the game, control-wise, it opens up a bit, and some of the annoying stuff goes away. And we might actually talk about that a little bit when we talk about the game later. I think it's made for co-op. I don't think it's a very good single-player game. I didn't think Resident Evil 5 was a very good single-player game, but I found it more playable in single-player than Resident Evil 6. And I haven't tried the co-op yet, and Nick's been playing a lot of the co-op, so he says it's really, really good, and I enjoyed 5 in co-op quite a bit. So hopefully playing 6 in co-op will make it a lot more fun for me, because I really like the Resident Evil series, and it's kind of sad to see so much presentation and polish put on a game and have it kind of falter gameplay-wise.
Right.
And again, we'll talk about that in our featured segment. The game that I want to talk about is Dishonored.
Yeah.
That game is fucking rad.
Yeah, I've been talking about it for months.
So have I.
E3. Yeah.
Yes.
It's good, though. It's fun. You're having fun.
It is better than the E3 demo let on. It is.
That's cool.
Just the sheer amount of player choice and, you know, player agency is amazing. It's, you can, you know, a lot of games will be like, okay, now you need to go get past this. You can either sneak by it or kill them all. You know, be good, be bad. Dishonored, I might want to sneak past this guy. And, you know, just go teleport around the roof, not alert anybody, be a ninja, and all that.
Right.
I might teleport right behind the guy and stab him in the neck and have him vaporize in a cloud of ash because I am a mass murderer and I've taken abilities to, you know, leave no trace of my kills. I might find a hole that's small enough for an animal to crawl through, and there's swarms of rats in the city. You can take possession of the rat and walk through the hole as the rat, and then you pop out the other side. You kind of, you basically shove your entire being into the animal or person and, you know, take control of them for a bit, and then when you pop out, they'll be all disoriented, and you'll be like, haha, I'm ninja, stab. Which is really fun. You might, I don't know, take possession, or you might say freeze time, take possession of a guard, have him shoot, walk him around in front of his own bullet, and unfreeze time, and let him shoot himself.
What?
You might decide that he's a little too close to a ledge and just push him over. These are all things you can do in Dishonored. And
so, I mean,
so it's murder porn.
Yeah.
It isn't, because there's a lot of it. Like, I'm playing, because the other thing about the game is that it judges the amount of chaos you're inflicting on the city. So if you kill everybody, the game gets like darker. There's enemies end up being stronger because they're trying to like build up their defenses because they know you're coming. And there's a plague, and the rats are around eating the bodies. So the more people you kill, the more intense the plague gets. Therefore, the more rats there are, and the stronger the enemies are. So it's like there's consequence without it being like, did you kick the puppy or pet the puppy? You know. But it's, you remember how when you played Brink, how fluid you move through the environment.
Yep.
So just, you're able to vault over everything, and the movement's just effortless. Dishonored is like Deus Ex and Thief had a baby, and then took some supernatural powers and Brink's sense of movement.
Wow.
So you can burn through a level, and like you could totally speed run it and not try and kill everybody. You can just stealth your way through an entire level, but be just as quick as if you were just running up and shooting people.
Right.
There's just so much to explore. Like these levels, they're actually not very big when you actually sit there and break it down, but there's so much content packed into the areas. Like, you might have a goal, like, you'll start in an area, and if you have your indicator that says where to go, it might be 120 yards away, but you might take 90 minutes to get to it because there's just so much to do and explore in these little areas,
right.
These little sandboxes, and it's just, I love it. I mean, it's probably the best game I've played all year. So,
wow.
There's that. Yeah,
there's a bomb.
Yeah.
Now, what are you playing this on?
We got sent a PS3 copy.
Sweet. And it looks good, I'm assuming?
It if you've seen the screenshots of the PC version, it doesn't look like that. It's definitely
right.
It's definitely not as good looking, but it's The art style is really strong. I mean, the guy who designed City 17 for Valve did the art direction for it. So, like, the architecture is all really interesting. It's got this, like, electro steampunk vibe. And it's just, it's really cool. I think everybody should give it a shot.
Yeah, definitely. I've been super hyped for this game now. Now, what is the motivation in doing these different sort of paths of execution to your goal? Like, is it just because you can?
Or it is. Remember when we were at PAX and Warren Spector sat there and talked about how he wanted you to be able to just play how you wanted to, or if you found a way that would stonewall you, you could just try another way?
Yep.
This is that the same type of thing. You can, for instance, the way I'm playing it is, I was going to be really stealth. I was going to try and go all stealth, no alarm, no kill, and I tried that for a while. But then I started having to kill out of necessity a few times, and I really like assassinating people in this game. It's really really satisfying. So what I've been doing is doing a perfect stealth run where I'm not trying to alert anybody or anything, but I am killing everyone. So no one sees me. I'm a ghost, but I'm stabbing fools left and right, shooting crossbow bolts into their eye sockets, vaporizing them into puffs of smoke. Chucking them off of bridges into pits of rats, all kinds of stuff. And the really interesting thing is the game is really good at giving you environmental clues to do things. So there's an early mission where you're supposed to assassinate this dude, and he has a dinner guest who you find out. If you're paying attention and listening to the dialogue, because it's never written down anywhere, but you overhear a conversation that you would never hear if you weren't sneaking around, but you overhear that he wants his dinner guest gone, so he's going to poison his drink. So you sneak all the way to the end of the level where he and the other guy are, and you hear them talking in another room, and you sneak into the dining area. And you can, instead of killing either of them directly, you can switch the glasses on the tray. So when the guy comes in and takes the drink, he drinks the poison and the other guy lives. And you're just sitting there watching,
That's cool.
A boss. Yeah, and there's all kinds of stuff like that.
That's great. I mean, giving the player that freedom to do different things is mm-hmm. awesome. And the times I've played it, the two different levels, it just flows so well. Like mm-hmm. it was really easy to do whatever I wanted, and I mostly did different things just because I wanted to experiment.
Once you understand the combat, it's a little easier, but it is very punishing if you do something dumb. Like, I'm gonna try and kill five guys at once, but I'm not equipped to do this. Whoops. But it's definitely great. There are some issues with, if you're trying to be really perfect, it lets you essentially quick save and try over. So
okay.
you can sit there and the save is anywhere. It's like you hit save, you reload it. You're not going back to a checkpoint. You're going back to the save. So you can actually put yourself in a position where you want to try like eight different things to get past a section and just keep reloading it. If you're trying to play it really stealthy and not kill anybody, I feel like you might have to reload it a little too much for my
just
taste.
To kind of get those perfect runs?
Yeah, and that might be a little off-putting. And sometimes you think you're stealthed and enemies see you. I don't know if it's bad player feedback or if it's a little buggy in that regard. But the shortcomings are very minor when you take into account everything you can do in that game. It's definitely there's all these systems, and some of them aren't as good as others, but the game is greater than the sum of its parts, I feel.
Cool.
Yeah, so definitely check it out, and sad it doesn't have any kind of co-op, because I think with the tools you have, you could do some interesting stuff.
Nice.
And I've also played some Dead or Alive 5, And that series, Dead or Alive, don't ever change. don't ever change.
I mean, though, like, honestly, is it a good fighting game?
Yes.
Yeah.
It is a good fighting game. It's Dead or Alive, you know?
No, I Dead or Alive 2, I think, was my first.
Dead or Alive 2 is, yeah, Dead or Alive 2 was a great game. I really liked 3 when the Xbox came out, and I hadn't played 4. But Dead or Alive 5 is really interesting, and they have some cameo characters from Virtua Fighter.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's
so
great.
The really interesting thing about this one, and again, I skipped 4, so that might have been in 4 as well, is, you know, in Dead or Alive, a big part of the flow is, like, the counter grabs. Just
yes.
Like, you know, your enemy, like, punches you, and you grab their hand and flip them. You can do high, medium, and low counters now, rather than just, like, high and low. So there's a little bit more rock, paper, scissors to it than simply going, oh, wait, well, they're... All right, I'm expecting this, so I will counter. It's not as easy to counter, but you can still get into that game. There's also a completely ridiculous arena that takes place in the middle of like a war zone.
Like, why wouldn't it?
There's tanks and drones firing missiles and dudes firing machine guns. Like there's a barricade on one side and a barricade on the other side, and you're fighting in the middle, and there's dudes shooting at each other. Like around you, and you can bust a dude into the barricade, and a tank will bust through it and like run them over. It's ridiculous. And there's one arena that's a freaking 3-ring circus, and you like there's different switches. There's lions. There's different switches all around the arena, and if you kick or punch your enemy into one of them, it triggers different things, and it's got like creepy circus music playing the whole time you're in it. It's mad Japanese, but it's really fun.
That cool. Sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's got probably the worst load times I've seen in a fighting game though.
Yeah, whatever.
Well,
it's got jiggle physics.
It does, but it also takes, like, 90 seconds to select characters.
Oh, God.
Oh, just because they're loading up all the 3D... Like, they load up the characters before you actually even get
so what
the
it
game,
does is,
right?
So what it does is you have the grid, and as you flip through the tiles on the grid, a static portrait of them appears in the background, but then the game starts spinning up, and it will eventually load the 3D model. But you can also select their costume, and each character has 3 or 4 costumes. So you flip through those, it has to load each one individually because it's like a different model, and it's
you'd think that'd be something they could help with, like installing the game.
Yeah, it didn't prompt me to install it when I put it in. I'm gonna look through the options and see if there's a way to install the data, because that's a PS3 copy as well. So it's not like the 360 where you can just install everything. You have to depend on the developers.
That happens a lot with, like, the last couple Tekken games, like Tekken 6 at least, where you had to wait till you viewed the character before you could select it. I'm not too sure if they changed that in Tekken Tag Tournament 2, but yeah, it's weird why they do... Oh, and Soul Calibur, the latest Soul Calibur does that. They preload the characters for whatever reason, which seems kind of odd. Like, you could just select your character, and then while it's in the loading screen, toss them in there, and then you could see the character models. But
yeah,
especially with a game where you're trying to get, you know, trying to get between fights really quickly and doing that. But
yeah, so that's it for me. And I've been playing some other stuff, but those are the only ones worth bringing up.
Nice,
cool.
So how about you, Nick?
I've been playing a lot of NHL 13 still, enjoying a lot of the online stuff with that, and.
That
very cool.
That was a really good review up on the site. It made me want to play hockey again.
Yeah, like, you know, I took a break last year from the NHL game, and even the year before I didn't play all that much. But I've probably got like 40 games under my belt already, if you include all the offline franchise stuff, the online franchise stuff, and then the team play stuff. So
now, are you playing in like a specific league?
Yeah, so the Colony of Gamers folks set up a GM connected league, so everyone's kind of taking a team on there, playing versus each other and stuff, as well as against the AI. So it's like 2-week stints. Basically, you do 2 weeks of the NHL schedule, you play your games when you can play them, whether it's against the computer or against someone else. And then once everybody wraps those up, it advances the schedule to the next 2 weeks.
Sweet.
So I think we wrapped up like the first month of the season, basically. But yeah, and then so Borderlands 2, been playing a little bit of that. We had a co-op night on Friday. Played with a bunch of random folks for that. And played with some friends as well. And getting pretty close to the end.
Nice.
Still really enjoying it.
What class are you?
I am the Siren. And it's kind of funny because it seems, at least in terms of like the randoms, that a lot of people are picking the Siren.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Two of the matches, there were four Sirens in it.
What?
Yeah.
Everything is phase locked.
It was kind of crazy. And even the one match, we started with four, two people dropped, and then the two people that joined were
all
Sirens too. So in total, that would be like, there was like 10 Sirens that
wow.
I played with in terms of randoms.
I've seen nothing but zero.
Yeah.
Like, anytime I played with people, yeah, it's like zeros everywhere.
Yeah.
So it's really nice that they have the customization options now, because it's very easy to tell people apart. Like, you know, even though everyone was a Siren, everyone was vastly different looking and stuff. So that was pretty cool.
Totally.
And then, yeah, Resident Evil 6 has been the bulk of my time. I just looked at Raptor and I've got 15 hours into it so far.
It's a long game.
It is a very long
game. You're halfway there, Nick.
I'm a little bit more than half. I finished up two more chapters tonight, so I've got four more of what's his name, Jake, and the last two, one of Chris's last one and Leon's last one, and then I guess Ada's is probably pretty short because it's just kind of like a single player only thing going on. So,
and are you playing single player or co-op?
Both. I've been keeping my game open, so people have been joining and stuff. And I'll talk about that when we're going to use it for our features discussion. So I'll talk more about how all that stuff works. But it's pretty ambitious, in my opinion. And I hope to see more stuff with what they try and do in terms of like the always connected kind of thing. But like I said, we'll talk about that later. But let's move on to the news. There's only a few stories we got. It's been pretty quiet. But first thing I want to talk about was this new SimCity video came out. It was kind of a little tutorial. I don't know if you guys... Did you guys watch this?
It's so damn tasty.
Isn't it? It's...
Dude.
You know,
it's so good.
The last SimCity I think I played was SimCity 3, but I didn't play all that much of it. But I played a ton of SimCity 2000.
Same here. That's the last one I played.
SimCity 2000? Yeah. So the video they showed, you know, they obviously simplified some systems. You know, you don't have to worry about dragging power lines everywhere or connecting water pipes and stuff. But they added some new things. So, like, you have to worry about, like, managing garbage and sewage and things like that. And everything basically just connects to roads. Your roads are your pathways for things. But, yeah, just the little details it has and the fact that, like, you can look at any little person in the game, any of the little Sim citizens, and see what they want and what they're doing. It's got the whole Roller Coaster Tycoon vibe with getting a feel for what's going on. And I can see myself putting a lot of time into the game, a real lot of time, especially in terms of like co-op and how it's going to work. Is there's going to be a social aspect where your city can connect to other cities, and you can like specialize your city. Like the demo one that they were showing was like, I'm going to build up a casino town, right? So all your revenue and stuff would be coming from people coming in to gamble and things like that. And so maybe your friend's town focuses on, you know, something else, focuses on some sort of commerce or you know,
resources
food output
or something.
Exactly. Yeah. So and when you connect those towns, you know, there's that trade network or whatever kind of goes on. So it'll be really cool. I hope they do little things like, I always liked in games where you could like name people and like you can track see where they go and things like that. So it'd be kind of cool if you can do that. And like if like you see like, oh, here's people from Lockstown in my city. They're all going gambling.
Spore did that. Like you could watch, you would go to different planets and your friends' creatures would show up on those planets. You're like, oh, that's great. That's whose dick monster that is. But after watching all these videos and seeing SimCity at E3, I'm just like, yes, I love city planning. This is fun. Like, it's the stupidest concept ever. Like, let's build a city. Like, it seems like work, but they make it so charming and like, yeah, I just want to get in there.
I get sucked into those kind of games like unexpectedly. In college, I was addicted to Caesar 3. I don't know if you ever played that game.
Oh, dude, Daykillers. Daykillers.
Yeah, it's just so.
You guys are nerds.
Looking forward to that for sure.
Yep.
News came out today about Serious Sam 3. The XBLA version is going to be split into two games, actually. Both games will be $15. The one game will have the core campaign as well as the co-op mode. And then the other game will be the multiplayer versus as well as the Jewel of the Nile DLC, which also contains co-op.
Right.
It's kind of a weird decision.
Such a weird thing. Why not sell it for $20?
Yeah, because was it the full game $20 on PC?
It's $40.
Was it $40? Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how it would work too in terms of you get the second game, just playing that co-op section or that those story missions or whatever. I don't know, but yeah. So that's supposed to be out there this month. It says mid-October. Also out this month, the Jewel of the Nile DLC for the PC version. I think it's October 14th. That'll be out, and that's got three new campaign missions. Again, playable in 16-player co-op.
That game is chaos. I loved it.
So, we still don't know how many players are going to be on the XBLA version.
Do you think they'll be able to do 16?
Well, there were 16 in the 1 and 2 HD remakes for Xbox, right?
No, I think the Xbox One was limited to less. I think let's I know a site that could tell us that information.
Yes. I wonder what
no,
that is.
Nick, we don't have 20 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently it takes 20 minutes to, let's see. No, 4-player co-op was the HD first encounter on Xbox.
Really? That's messed up.
So
the 16-player co-op on the PC is just amazing.
It's insanity.
It's just, yeah, it was unreal, all the stuff that was happening.
Yeah.
And now a moment of silence. Cliffy B has left Epic Games. Did you guys hear? Did you know? Cliff Brzezinski has...
I knew. I all hopes for Jazz Jackrabbit 3 just flew the coop.
Yeah. But he... it looks like he's decided to kind of take a break. This year has been crazy in terms of big-name game industry talent.
The doctors leaving BioWare.
Exactly.
I think they're doing a swap.
Yeah.
Doctors go to Epic and... Cliffy B go to BioWare.
Was that Rod Ferguson also left Epic?
Right, yep. He left Epic to go to Naughty Dog. I think it was.
Yeah, I think so. It was that was he went to Irrational.
That's right, Irrational. Sorry.
Yeah.
It seems like a weird
the Naughty
move
Dog
just...
guy though went to take over
THQ.
Yeah,
I mean, he was like a founding member of Naughty Dog, but he wasn't there still, I don't think.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, it's just been a crazy, crazy year in terms of industry talent, kind of getting tired. I think a lot of what Cliff had said in his thing was, you know, he's been doing this since he was 18 or 17, and he needed a little bit of a break. And that same thing, the doctors at BioWare, one of them's going to do a beer podcast.
Amazing.
The guy's going to do some philanthropy kind of stuff. So,
yeah.
You know, good on them. You know, they've accomplished some goals that they wanted to, and now it's time to, you know, do something else, do some other goals. And
it seems like a weird time just because with Unreal 4, Unreal Engine 4 and Fortnite.
Fortnite,
I don't know. I don't know where those are at, but.
Well, you know, I'm guessing in terms of, like, what his role was, he was, you know, he wasn't into coding and stuff anymore.
No,
he was
he's
more
creative,
design
yeah.
stuff, so that's earlier on in the life cycle. And,
yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's probably all done already.
Yeah. Let's see what else we got. Call of Duty Black Ops 2 on, on the Vita. No zombie mode. We learned that.
Right.
But we did learn about the zombie mode, and it sounds kind of interesting. It's kind of ambitious in the sense it's somewhat open world. There's going to be, what do they call it? It's called the Road Tour or something like that.
Yeah, drive on a bus.
Yeah, so you kind of pick destinations in this open world, and you go and you conquer kind of the missions there. And between the destinations, you're on a bus and the zombies are attacking the bus and you have to defend that. So yeah, it looks pretty cool. And there's supposed to be some persistent kind of stuff, buying upgrades, things like that. And I guess even there's a versus mode now as well, set in the zombie universe. So
weird.
Yeah, I mean it's, you know, it's looking pretty good in terms of co-op. Treyarch's always had the stronger co-op offering for their Call of Duty games. So
I've still never played a zombie mode.
They're pretty fun. And,
yeah, it's pretty good.
I was on the Left 4 Dead train at that time, yes. So I just didn't care.
Well, this time
I don't really like Call of Duty.
The Black Ops bus.
Exactly. Well done, sir. Well done. Speaking of zombie modes, War Z has entered alpha testing, and it looks like it's going to be out. I think November was the last I saw. No. Either of
it
you
hit
guys
alpha
played,
and it comes out
first?
In 2 weeks.
Well, the thing is, it's standalone.
Right.
It's already done, essentially. They're just taking the mod version and making it the standalone version.
Interesting.
So there's not all that much to do with it. Because
they got permission from the Arma guys, right, to go ahead and do their own thing. Yeah. No, I'm definitely down for this, just because I watched a lot of DayZ and heard a lot of DayZ and heard stories and war stories, but now I'm ready with the game proper with War Z here.
Never trust anyone with a helicopter in DayZ.
That's right. They probably are up to no good. But man, it sounds fun. It like takes sort of the survival horror to a different space. You know, you have to, you know, the zombies aren't the threat; it's the people.
Yeah, if you ever want to be like entertained, just YouTube that and just watch some of the videos people post, because there's some pretty crazy stuff.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, it's not a traditional co-op game in the sense that, you know, you have a campaign and a story and stuff. It's one of those. It's co-op as you want to make it.
It's emergent co-op.
Yeah.
It's like a little sandbox.
But yeah, it's looking pretty good. Like I said, you had it's Arma 2, I think, but I think it was one of the expansions you had to own.
Yeah, the second. Yeah, you had to own Arma 2 plus their expansion. So
yeah, and then you could download War Z mod, but they're releasing it standalone. Only digital. It's digital only, not like a retail release or anything like that. And so it's supposed to be sometime this November. Was last I saw. And last but not least, we wanted to talk about our Extra Life event we're doing on the site. First year we're giving this a shot, and it's a it's a charity to help out children's hospitals. And Eric Smurfster is kind of heading this up, and we've got 8 people on the team, kind of raising money. And what it is a 24-hour gaming marathon. You pledge. Basically, you're supposed to pledge per hour played. So a lot of people pledge $1 an hour or something like that. And we're trying to get together a couple cool things with it. I don't know if it's going to happen or not. Because Mark joined up and he came up with a pretty good idea for something. But I have not heard back from that. But we might do some giveaways and stuff. We're going to be streaming video and playing co-op games. So should be pretty cool.
Nice.
And check it out on the site. There's a little widget in the top right to donate and get more info. And as we get closer, it's October 20th is when it kicks off. As we get closer to that date, we'll talk about it some more and see what's going on. Let's see, will that be before the next podcast? Nope, that'll be right after it.
Nice.
So we'll see how it went. But that's it for news. Pretty light, not too much going on. Just some games coming out.
Games, you know, like
a couple games.
Like XCOM.
Yeah, XCOM tonight. But let's talk about Resident Evil 6. That's kind of our feature discussion.
Yes, let's.
I want to hear you guys dig into this.
So I'll go over kind of what I've been experiencing in terms of co-op and how some of the things that they've done that I think are pretty unique. So there's three main campaigns. Both of them are two-player co-op, or all of them are two-player co-op. And they follow kind of parallel stories, and the stories intertwine. Each campaign, the characters you can play in single-player or co-op, you can pick which character you want to play as. And then... excuse me. So you can pick what character you want to play as, and then they kind of start at different points within the story, but like I said, so they intertwine. And what's cool is if you play an online co-op, you have an option to leave your game open. And when you get to these parts that intertwine, it's actually kind of confusing, and this is what we'll talk about, is how it's not very clear because there's no manual with the game. But you'll get to this point in the story, and you get to a loading screen. And the first time we hit it when I was in co-op, I thought we dropped my partner because it says searching for partner.
Right.
And what the game actually does is it does like a little matchmaking thing. It gives it about 60 seconds to find someone else that is also at that part in the game. So you essentially then have a four-player co-op section going on. I think you played this at E3, right, Locke? Where they kind of showed it off. But did you get to play the four-player co-op there or not?
No, they just talked to us how they sort of intertwine.
So... It works pretty well because it's very different depending on the part. One of the parts, there's like it's like a big boss battle, and there's actually like it's a huge area. You guys are kind of running around. Everybody can kind of do their own thing, but you can also kind of work together. People can man turrets and cover somebody while they're trying to arm like a charge on a gun. And so there's a couple things to do there. There's another part where four-player co-op kind of, or where the intersection happens, where you're actually in two different rooms, and you can look over and you can see the other two people in the other room, and they're doing the exact same thing you're doing, but it's slightly different, and it's kind of almost like a puzzle in what's going on. And I'm not exactly sure, because I've done it twice. I've done it from both perspectives, actually, but I think whoever gets out of the room first kind of gets all the booty. There's a couple chests outside with the experience points thing. So that's kind of interesting.
It's kind of competitive?
Well, like the in that one, in the sense that you're trying to get through that puzzle. Yeah. So there's a bunch of these. And just the fact that the way it works, where you get to these intertwined parts and it brings in two other players, I don't know. It makes it feel so much more like alive. And it's just, it's very unique. But yeah, and so seeing it from the different perspectives, what I've been doing is I've been playing the campaigns up until chapter 4. There's 5 chapters in each one, and then going on to the next one. So I've been kind of getting my fill of each story. But I haven't had any problems in the intersection parts, picking up a partner or two partners, depending. I've kept my game open. I've had people drop in and drop out. Some of the nice things in co-op, item drops. Everybody gets their own copies of items.
Nice.
So there's no fighting for items within your own co-op game. Puzzles are pretty straightforward in co-op. You know, you'll do things where you have to launch somebody across like an area. They'll have to go and open something up to let you in. A couple, you know, simultaneous switches. There'll be parts where you have to cover each other. Like, you know, you get split up and you got to cover this person to go forward, and that person has to cover you to go forward. And there's some things like that. In terms of gameplay, I mean, I guess this is where the reviews, most people frowned upon it, in terms of you're still kind of stuck a little bit in the old school Resident Evil mentality. It's not a straight up third person shooter. It's still got a little bit of quirky control issues. The cover mechanic isn't the best, and things like that. Like the campaigns, actually, like Leon's campaign is more like, and I think I described it to Mike, but it's like Dead Space 2 meets Left 4 Dead. Like, it's kind of like slow. It's a lot more slower, but there's a lot of stuff being thrown at you. There's these big set pieces. There's one of the ones that stand out to me is there's like a firefight that takes place in this ammo shop, and you're kind of moving from room to room, and there's zombies coming in through the windows and stuff like that. That's pretty intense. Chris's campaign is like... I've heard it compared to Gears of War. I don't know if I can really compare it to that so much. It's just straight up more action oriented. In fact, you're literally in a war zone. There's, you know, there's planes bombing stuff and things like that going on. And it actually almost has a Call of Duty look to it. So that's a little more action oriented. Actually, I think the first time I hit the puzzle, a puzzle with him, is in the, like, his fourth chapter. So in Leon's, I think it was the second chapter, you finally start hitting more of the puzzle elements. And I just started Jake's campaign. Is it Jake or Jack? I think it's Jake.
I think Jake. It's Jake, yeah.
So, yeah, I just started his campaign, and his first one, it seems a little bit more like Leon's, but his specialty is more hand-to-hand combat.
Okay.
So I think it's more melee-focused stuff. It's a little more in-your-face. Though he has a couple interesting sections where you're kind of just running and avoiding things.
Just run?
Yeah, it's just run. Chris's campaign actually has both a driving and a flying section. So I was telling Mike, yeah, there's a hit that ramp fitty kind of thing going on.
Nice.
But yeah, excellent. I mean, that's about it. Overall, like I said, I think it's a solid game. Like, I'm not a huge, like, Resident Evil junkie. Like, I played, like, the very first one on PlayStation back in the day. I played one on PC at some point. You know, I played 5. After 5, I went back to try and play 4, and I couldn't get into it.
See, that's weird, because 4 is...
Yeah.
4 is the pinnacle of the series.
I never had a GameCube, and...
No, that's... Yeah, I played it on PS2.
And then I think after... I think it came out on PC, maybe?
It did.
And the controls were just abysmal.
They were jacked.
I was like, no.
Oddly enough, the best version of 4 to go back and try and play, in my opinion, is the Wii one.
Yes, totally correct, yeah.
Because the Wii offered Wiimote aiming, and it actually had really, really solid Wii controls.
Yeah.
And that game is, you know, it has a extreme reliance, like Dead Space, on targeting limbs of enemies, and it just makes it a lot smoother in experience to play that. With the direct aiming on the Wii.
Totally.
Anyway. Continue.
No, I mean, that's about it. You know, it's... Like I said, I think it's a pretty solid game. Mechanic-wise, there's definitely some shortcomings, and you'll fight the camera at times, and there's some really frustrating parts in terms... There's a certain enemy in the game that you can't kill. Basically, when you... hurt it, it, you chop it up, and then it regenerates into 2, and then so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some tight corridor sections with that, and if you get stuck in that with that guy, it's just you get up, you get knocked down, you get up, you get knocked down, and it's just annoying. So there's like the whole skill point system with it. You pick up skill points that are laying around, then you can kind of upgrade certain things, whether it's your health. You can make it so the quick time events, like for breaking out of when you get grasped, are easier to get done with. There's like lock on stuff. You can have it drop on more, have the guys drop more items.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't know. I mean, it, like I said, it's a meaty, meaty game. I've got 15 or 16 hours in. I'm probably 2/3 done, if that. And I haven't even touched Mercenaries yet, so...
Have you played with any of the Agent Hunt stuff?
I haven't. That's what Mike's talking about is you can actually go into other people's games as some of the zombies and stuff like that, and they can come in yours. I guess, I think I've been leaving my game open for that and haven't seen anybody.
I don't think it tells you.
It doesn't tell you that they're...
I don't know. It's far as I understand, it's supposed to be seamless. You're supposed to just... jump in and play as a random enemy in the level.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to give it a shot, obviously. I'm just trying to work through the campaigns and...
Yeah. So should I start by listing the problems I have with it?
Sure.
So the biggest problem I have, and Nick touched on earlier, is that your characters are extremely... capable, but the game never tells you what your abilities are. There are a number of abilities that your characters have that there's no tutorial in the game, and there's no physical manual in the box, and there's no digital manual anywhere in the game. And the problem is, you can do stuff like slide and jump out of the way and duck and flip onto your back and shoot or slide and do a 180 while sliding and shoot. And exactly zero of these things are told to you directly in the game, with the exception of the slide the first time you need to use it.
Yeah.
And you will get your ass handed to you by enemies because they're very grab happy. And in, especially in Leon's campaign, when you're in a lot of very tight areas and you'll have five or six zombies on you pretty often, and you'll try and avoid one only to turn around and get grabbed by another. And if you're ever grabbed, you're given a QTE to break out of it. And even if you beat the QTE, you lose a sixth of your health. So it's really punishing, and it puts you in these absurd situations where there'll be a zombie lying face down on the ground, and you know that if you and he'll be in, there'll be a wall, like a little, like you have to do like an S maneuver to get through an area. There'll be a dead zombie in the middle of it, and you know that the zombie is going to wake up, and so you say, "Oh, I'm just going to shoot him and activate him," and it won't because it's a scripted event. And you will walk across it, and he will instantly grab you, and there's no way to avoid it. And it just seems really weird to do stuff like that to me. But one of the really, really super annoying things is Resident Evil, since 4, has really depended on the quick turn. You know, you press down and A, and you do a 180, and you instantly looking behind you. And since they detached the camera, because in past Resident Evil games, the camera was, as you panned the camera around, it would rotate your character in place. So you do the 180, camera swings around. Now they have detached the camera from the player, so most of the time when you do the quick turn, you'll flip around and the view will come with you. But if you're in a tight space, the time that you would actually need to do the quick turn the most, I would say a good 50% of the time, at least in my experience, I will do the quick turn and now I am looking at Leon's face, looking straight at me, and I get whacked by enemies.
Is the quick turn different than the quick shot thing?
It is. The quick shot is pulling both triggers, but if you hit down and A on the Xbox at the same time, you will actually do a 180 turn. And the camera will follow you around, and it's been a standard of playing Resident Evil games since 4, so I expected it to work, and it doesn't very often. There's the over reliance on QuickTime events for just really mundane stuff, like. There'll be things like, I see a barrier coming and I need to dodge out of the way, but rather than giving me the ability to just duck or attach to cover, I have a split second to react to a QTE or I get smacked in the face. Let's see. I feel like the aiming is really off, and I understand, I just found out that you can actually change the aiming style to be more like Resident Evil 4 and 5, because it just feels too floaty and inaccurate. I feel
it's very punishing. There's actually the default thing. I don't know if you noticed, but there's the targeting reticle, and then there's the laser thing.
And it will float around inside the reticle. Yeah.
What's that?
There'll be the reticle, and you aim it at an enemy, but the laser pointer might be anywhere within the reticle, so you can still miss even though you're pointed at something.
Because the recoil is still going on. Like that's right. The idea is like you have to wait for it to settle down.
Yeah, it's the I guess my biggest problem with the game is that Resident Evil 5 pushed the series way into shooter territory, but it still managed to feel pretty similar to 4, which was a pretty action heavy series entry. 6 pushes it even further towards just being a straight up third person shooter, but the shooting doesn't ever feel really good to me, and I feel like the cameras push way too close up on the character. So, well, it does increase the tension by you're uncomfortably close to your dude. It has the side effect of blocking your view a lot of times. So, like, Leon takes up a quarter of the screen, and if there's an if you're lined up just right, there could be three dudes in front of you that you will not see until they're too close to do much about other than run away. And I feel like playing it as a single player game, because I want to play it in co-op because I loved the co-op in 5, but I don't like playing with randoms, so I haven't had anyone's time line up yet. And the AI partner, well, it's better than it was in RE5. It just, the number of times when it says, okay, hoist the other character up so they can pull the switch for you, it feels like, rather than sending the AI dude to go kill 10 dudes over there and flip a switch, well, I sit here with my thumb up my butt and wait. It would be better if I was the one being hoisted up to go do the thing that requires player input. It's just, there's all kinds of bizarre decisions like that.
If you pick the other character, if you pick the secondary character.
Sure, but I'm playing as Leon S. Kennedy, rookie cop. I'm not going to play as the made up chick for his co-op partner. You know, it's like, I don't know. It's, if you've played a lot of Resident Evil games, Resident Evil 6 is a lot worse a game than if you just played it on its own, because it has series expectation, and it tries to play with things, but it doesn't do enough. Like, if you want to make it a shooter, Dead Space should be a really good template for how to make a smooth, responsive shooter that can be difficult and stressful. And Resident Evil 6, the shooting just feels completely off, so it just feels jank as hell the whole time you're playing it. And it really irritates me. I really get on it again, but it's like, if I can jump and dodge and block and counter enemies, you should, if you're not going to give me a manual that spells out that I have these abilities, you shouldn't leave like two or three button press combinations for me to discover to do that. It's very irritating.
The other really wonky thing with it is the save system.
Yeah,
it's almost punishing. There's checkpoints.
Checkpoint is not a save.
And then there's also saving points. And so like the checkpoints, it'll just come up and say checkpoint, and if you die, you'll restart there. And it's usually pretty liberal with that. You won't have to redo too much of a section. But there's actual times when it's saving, and there's like a little typewriter icon that actually comes up to let you know that happens. And that's a little bit, further in between, because the chapters themselves average between an hour and a half to 2 hours.
And that feels way too long. That's another thing that's annoyed me, is you have all these, so like in Resident Evil 5, you gain, currency, or in this case, skill points to buy stuff to level up your dude and make him more powerful. And you can, with the exception of like starting a game, you have the option to go into the store and buy abilities. But if you're in the middle of a chapter, you might have enough currency to buy that upgrade you really want, but you might be 2 hours away of being able to spend it.
I don't think that's an issue at all, because once you get past the initial levels of them, you can't even buy the second level by beating a chapter. I go two or three chapters now before I can even buy something of worth.
But even at first, like when you're only able to buy like one of the powerful ones or a couple of the little ones, it would still be pretty damn nice to be able to go in and muck with that.
At least let you can actually swap your skills mid-mission, but you can't buy.
Yeah,
which is kind of weird. But
the thing is, it feels like the pacing is really odd. So because the chapters are so long, you will find like pretty much four or five places where you're like, oh, this chapter must be done. This climactic event just happened, and then it just keeps going and going and going. And especially early on in Leon's, there are a number of places where it'll be like, this is the fourth time I've had to defend a location from an endless wave of enemies. That's where, a lot of the Left 4 Dead feel comes in. It's like, I'm holed up in this really tight area, and there are a bunch of enemies, and, well, here's some fun stuff. Like, you have the co-op door opening, like you do in all these type of games, and you'll be in a situation where there are endless enemies. They do not stop coming, and you have to go open this door, and your AI partner will not disengage from the enemy to open the door, and you can be killed while you're waiting for your partner to show up and open the door. It's so stupid. It's mind-boggling how stupid that is. And I don't know. It's a game that, like, I think it's beautiful. I think this game looks really, really good. I think the scope it tries to hit is really impressive. I feel like it brings a lot from all over. Like, even though Resident Evil 5 technically wrapped up everything you cared about, and Resident Evil 6 technically has no reason to exist in the series canon, it tries to bring an awful lot together. It does ambitious things with the story. It does ambitious things with the co-op. It tries to push the series forward in new and interesting ways. It's a 30-hour single-player campaign, and there's all this good stuff with it. And then there's, like, pacing issues. The shooting's bad. You know, the AI is either amazing or broken, and I don't know. It's really frustrating because, like, this is a game that I could easily see, you know, them changing a couple minor things about it and it becoming, like, one of the best games coming out this year. But right now it feels like it's trying to push in so many different directions that doesn't have any identity. And that's what makes it really frustrating.
Are you going to let the little things annoy you or not? Because honestly, like, most of the stuff that Mike has said that has been rubbing him, like, I have no issue with it. There's been very few times that I've really been frustrated with it. In terms of mechanics and stuff like that. Like, the shooting stuff, I think it feels fine, especially when you get some of the more powerful weapons. Like, you can mow through the guys. And if you have something like the item drop upgrade, like, you'll have no problem with ammo and things like that.
It's not that the game is hard, because it's not a hard game. I've had a couple situations where some, like, really stupid stuff killed me a few times, but for the most part, there's enough, especially if you have the item drop thing, there's enough healing items to go around. The checkpoints, the saving thing is a different issue, but the checkpoints are pretty generous. If you die, you won't have to repeat a lot. And, you know, it's not hard. It's just that there are things about it. Like, I don't feel like... I feel like I'm cheating if I... But to kill every enemy, I do a quick shot with my pistol and then switch to my combat knife and insta-kill him in melee. And that's how you can, like, pretty much every enemy can be dispatched like that, at least the cannon fodder ones. And yes, I realize that there are, I'm talking about Leon right now. But in that campaign,
chapter 3, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's... What's interesting actually about it is that there's two distinct enemy types in the game. Like, there's the ones that are more like Resident Evil 5, where they're not necessarily undead zombies. They're like the disease infested kind of growing mutation guys. And then there's also the undead zombie guys. But there's some pretty freaking hard dudes, later on, and not even just like the, like I said, the annoying guy where you cut him up and he spawns into two things. there's some fully armored guys and things like that. And some of the bigger monsters, when you get to a certain section in the game, when you start seeing what's really going on with the C-virus and stuff, there's some pretty tough dudes. I had a point, and I forget what my point was going to be about.
Have you guys tried the Mercenaries mode?
I haven't even yet. I haven't had time. I'm just trying to freaking plow through
the
campaign.
Yeah, no, that's totally understandable.
Yeah, I haven't liked Mercenaries in any of its forms so far, so I'm not really keen to check it out.
Yeah, I mean, it's always just been okay.
I don't think Resident Evil games are very good. You know, they're not very good in that type of action, and to make an entire mode out of it just seems kind of silly. There's a lot of other games I could play that do that a lot better.
Yeah.
So there you have it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, Resident Evil is one of those games you're gonna love it or you're gonna hate it. So I'm not gonna say I love it, but I'm having fun with it. It's I think some of the stuff it does in terms, like I said, in terms of the co-op, I'd love to see more games try things like that, where you just kind of randomly intersect with folks. Mm-hmm. And,
I worry that that is going to be something that people can only experience now.
Yeah, that's definitely, like I said, right now it's 60 seconds. It'll count down when you get to that loading screen, and it lets you know. In 3 months when there's, one 100th of the amount of people playing it. So far, I think maybe of the, I'd say 12 intersections I've hit, maybe 10 times I've actually intersected with other people. Most times it's only been one person. Very rarely it's been two. I've played only 4 chapters in co-op. The rest have been single player.
Okay.
So, but yeah, hopefully, I don't know. I hope they get the review up this week, but it's...
friggin' long.
It is friggin' long.
Well, good luck. I look forward to it.
I wanted to talk about, kind of the save thing and just how, the chapters are long, but the only time you really have to get to the end of the chapter is if you want to switch campaigns. Like, if you get to the typewriter save thing, you can actually quit and then go back and kind of come back in. But you can only have one mid-mission save at any time.
Right.
So, but cool. That's Resident Evil 6.
Nice.
It will be polarizing. It is polarizing.
The reviews have been, it's funny because, Kohler was actually, I was on XBLA or Xbox Live tonight playing, and he just sent me like a message laughing at me because I was playing, and I was like, I like it, dude. Sorry you didn't. But, and the reviews have been. They've been all over the board. They were everything from, 90s all the way down to the, 30s.
I think the what sums up my feelings on it the best is I see the 8 out of 10 game in the 5 out of 10 game I'm playing, and it infuriates me.
Yeah.
It's like I see where someone would really like it. I don't, and I really want to like it, and that makes me mad. But luckily Dishonored, so...
Keep playing, because, like you said, you're real early on in Leon's thing. And
I'm 6 hours into it.
That's early, exactly. It's a crazy thing.
Hey, I've already been the defense force for Final Fantasy 13, where it... hold on, it gets good 22 hours into it. Just hold on to it.
Well, I'm not saying that it... I don't know. I had fun from the get go. Leon's early stuff, especially the set pieces, are phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. I will agree. I think the set, the plot is what it is, and it's a Resident Evil game. The set pieces are really cool. Stuff explodes a lot, for no reason a lot of times, but it looks really cool.
Yeah.
There's some judicious use of slow motion, and. Yeah,
there's some crazy stuff going on for sure. There's
nice.
All right, let's wrap this up. What do we got? iOS apps, Windows Phone 7 apps, Android apps for our site.
Apps. How about the countdown to Call of Duty?
Yeah, there you go. There's a countdown to Call of Duty app I made just because I wanted to make one.
You're a nerd.
For your Android Intertron phones.
Yep. Go ahead, go search for Countdown Black Ops 2 on Google Play. You'll find it. It's free. What else we got? Split Reason shirts. We are
pretty much out.
Take a look. Yeah, pretty much. We had there was a $10 sale last I checked. I forgot to check before this podcast, but they're almost gone. So get them before you can't get them anymore. Feedback on iTunes. We want it. Give it to us, please. Follow us on Twitter. We are Co-Optimist without the dash. Voicemail 646-926-6748. And that's about it. So Jason didn't even make an appearance at all, huh?
Disappointed. No. He's probably played in Resident Evil 6.
He is helping my wife entertain my daughter.
Helping.
Don't awesome, don't guys. Start something you don't want to finish, son.
Oh, I've finished. Finished right. It. Finito. We'll catch you guys next week.
Have a good one.
Peace.